Simplicity is sweet. Thank you, Helen, for sharing that. What a nine-month experience. That was incredible. Again, thank you all for supporting her. And it's great to see her maturity and coming back and all that she learned from her trips around the world, her trip around the world. Today, I wanted to just share what a weekend it's been. It's been an amazing, exciting, incredible weekend. Friday and Saturday, we had groups from three different churches come to help our life group leaders and to do a workshop. And it's called a DS1. And it was so good to be able to be a part of it because they came specifically to train our life group leaders. And it was incredible to see just how specific and how incredible and dynamic coming together, all of us with the same goal in mind. And that goal is to simply make disciples who make disciples. Pour into someone what has been poured into you. Follow Jesus, being transformed by him, and join him in his mission. There is no greater thing on this earth than to pour into someone what has been poured into you, to help them to understand God and to help them to walk with God and to grow up in God. And so for all of us, we just had a great time just learning how to do that, how to be that, how discipleship should be in all of our lives, that we can learn from someone and we can teach someone how to be more like Jesus. Isn't that the greatest endeavor in the world? And so we're learning how to do that more and more. And so it's very encouraging, very inspiring. I know Todd mentioned Mike and Amanda. They're here from Alabama, and he is, I introduced him before, but he is our coach, our RDN coach, and he brought his better half this time. So Mike and Amanda, please stand. I want to recognize them. Thank you. They, along with their team, are committed to the kingdom of God worldwide, to be able to train and teach and learn from and pour into people really the message of the gospel. And so, I'm just excited about where we're going as a church, because our life groups, when we meet during the week, our life groups are incredible. We share a lot about Jesus personally, but the bottom line is that those life groups are formed so that we can form relationships to help one another be more like Christ. And it's not for us to sit there every Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, every Wednesday for 15 years, same old group, same old people, talking about the same thing. No, it's for us to meet, and then for those of us, when we meet, to mature and then go out and start some more and spread the gospel, make disciples who make disciples. That's what we desire to be as a church, 170 of us, to be able to spread the word and reproduce what God has produced in us. I also have some good news this weekend. Today is my 34th birthday. 34 years today. Ago today, I was baptized into Christ and on 9/11, Thomasville Road, 901, I'm getting old, 901 Thomasville Road, at about 9:15 p.m., I was baptized into Christ. I was only 2 years old, but it was awesome. I was a freshman in college, never forget that night, never forget that day. And what a day it was. And so I'm celebrating today. And also I'm celebrating the fact that our children are here with us this morning. Amen? Great to have you, kids. Are you ready? Are you ready? We're going to do something this morning, all right? Are you ready? I don't hear you. Are you ready? No. Whose child is that? An honest child, yes, yes. Some of y'all, if y'all were honest, you wouldn't want to be here. This morning, I want to take a few minutes to test your memory. Test your memory. Neil Armstrong, how many of you remember July 21st, 1969, when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon? How many of you remember that? Did you see it on TV? How was your experience? Was it exciting? Yeah? Was it amazing? Yes. So John says he remembers them having a caption live. It was a live caption, just a module on the moon. Neil Armstrong was sleeping, but they filmed that all night long, and you watched it. A man on the moon, Neil Armstrong, an amazing time. Some of you were alive, some of you, some of us, and some of us remember it. How many of you remember Michael Jackson? The 25th Motown anniversary celebration. How many of you remember that? Do you remember Mike moonwalking across the stage? I would do it, but I have different shoes. I can't do that right now. You don't remember that. You weren't even alive. I mean, we saw it live. It was amazing. Mike was jamming. The moonwalk, it was incredible. We remember that night, and we talked about it at school the next day. Man, Mike was amazing, wasn't he? We were excited about it. How many of you remember Adele or some of her performances or her songs? How many of you know Adele, remember Adele, are familiar with Adele? Okay. All right. Good. Pretty good singer, huh? All right. How many of you remember Kawhi Leonard leading the Toronto Raptors to the NBA championship?
Whatever.
Yeah. Beating those Warriors.
Yeah. 8 people out.
The Wounded Warrior. Yeah, right. Everybody has a saying. Yeah, they beat them like they stole something. These are amazing human beings who have done amazing things. And we remember those amazing events. If you are 25 years or younger, let me ask you a question. How many of you think your kids will even know who Adele is? How many of you think your children will understand how amazing Kawhi Leonard's performance in the 2019 NBA championship really was? Your children. How will your children remember these amazing performances? What's that? You're going to tell them. You're going to tell your little boy, your little girl, man, Kawhi Leonard was amazing in 2019. All right. How are they going to remember? Kids? Then you're going to tell them, right? What else will you do?
Show them YouTube.
Ah, YouTube. You gotta show me, look at this, whatever it's gonna be in 2028, you know, or 2038, whatever it is, you know, look on your arm. I don't know what it's gonna be, but it's gonna be amazing. how would you tell them? Ah! Oh, maybe they'll say that's old school because the greatest basketball player, according to Bill, is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And they'll go, who?
Stone
who
him.
Is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? You see, the most amazing person that did the most amazing thing was Jesus Christ. You and I, we weren't weren't there over 2,000 years ago to witness his life, to see how he loved, to see his sacrifice. God in the flesh walking on this earth, a little better than a moonwalk. A little better than walking on the moon. He owns the moon. He created the moon. And so you have God coming down to this earth, walking as a man, living among us, sacrificing, being flawed and crucified, and then buried, and 3 days later, he resurrects. The most amazing act ever on this earth. There were no YouTube videos to see it. These men wrote it down for us to talk about it, to remember it. Jesus told his disciples to remember me. And do you know, kids, we do this every Sunday. Before you go to Kingdom Kids, we pass the bread and the juice because we as Christians want to remember the most amazing thing that ever occurred on this earth. Amen. And you know, we need to remember this. The most amazing man that ever lived, the most amazing act of love, the most amazing sacrifice to help us remember him throughout the week so that we can follow him, be transformed by him, and join him in that mission. We take this Lord's Supper every Sunday to remember him. This video will help us to remember how amazing his grace really is. Let's play this video.
My faithful Father tender mercies like a river with no end, it overwhelms me, covers my sin each time I come into your presence. I stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery each day. I fall on Savior.
Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have each week to come together as the body of Christ to remember Jesus. And Father, we pray that every day we remember how amazing your grace is. Father, allow that grace to help us through our challenges, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to help us to persevere. Father, help us to reach out, to love, to sacrifice. Father, we thank you for this time that we can remember how amazing you are and how amazing your grace is, your kindness, your favor. And we thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
wonderful name. What a wonderful name. The name of Jesus Christ our King. What a wonderful name. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
God's grace, His amazing grace, is all about His kindness. It's about His favor, unmerited favor. His favor is everything for a Christian or a follower of Christ. His grace is amazing to us because of the benefits that we receive from His amazing grace. His grace can, if you allow it, inspire you to work hard. To work hard. 1 Corinthians 15, 9 through 10 says, "For I am," Paul is writing this, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." And that could have been something that could have been very debilitating for Paul. Guilt could have filled him because he really caused the death of many Christians. But he says, "But by God's grace, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not ineffective. However, I worked more than any of them, yet not I, but the grace that was with me." You know, if you allow it, God's grace can motivate you to work hard at all you do. Can I get an amen on that? Before I became a Christian, I didn't work hard on anything. I was a lazy, spoiled, rotten child. I didn't work hard to clean my room. I didn't work hard at my chores, and my dad had to beat me sometimes. I didn't have to work hard at sports because it came naturally to me. So when I became a Christian, I learned, and God's grace motivated me to work hard. It's amazing what happened afterward. I became a Christian. I understood the grace of God. I worked hard. After my freshman year, my sophomore year, played baseball in college. I was working hard to be the best baseball player I could be, had the best attitude I could be. Why? Because of the grace of God. I worked hard at being the best student I can be, and the best I could do was a B+. And the church said amen. But I worked hard for that B+. It was the grace of God that was working in me, because me, I'm working hard for that C. I worked hard at being the best friend I could to deal with my selfishness and my self-centeredness. I worked hard at being as pure as I could be on a campus full of women. I had to work hard to be as pure as I could be. But not me, but the grace of God in me. I worked hard not to get. I worked hard because of I've already received. That's the grace of God, all because Jesus worked hard for me. Secondly, His grace can teach us to take, His grace can give us amazing confidence. His grace can give us amazing confidence. You know, I don't know how many people are just confident coming out of the womb. And how many stay confident after living in this world. We can put it on. We can be confident in other things. But in our own souls, are we confident? Well, I don't believe so without the grace of God. Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. Hebrews 4, 15 through 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Do you feel weak at times? Jesus knows what you're going through. Do you feel lonely at times? He understands. But one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. We can be so confident, not in ourselves, but in the love of God. Not in what we drive, or what kind of things we do, or what kind of work we do, or our grades, but in the fact that Jesus loves us. His amazing grace can teach us confidence. And finally, his grace can teach us to take a stand. Take a stand. Before I became a Christian, I was a people pleaser. I wanted everybody to see my best side and to hide my not so good side. I remember when Greg brought me to the first Bible talk, we used to call them back in those days, our life groups that we know today. And it was held in Gibbs Hall. How many know where Gibbs Hall is on FAMU's campus? Gibbs Hall. And we held, and so when he invited me to have a Bible study with guys at Gibbs Hall, I'm thinking we'll go to a cozy room and have a Bible study with some guys. I said, cool. But you know where the Bible study was? In the lobby. I said, in the lobby? But there are going to be people walking through, and they may see me in a Bible study in the lobby. And so I didn't have a Bible, so Greg gave me a Bible. He didn't give me one of them small Bibles. He gave me a doggone scroll. I think it was about this thick. I'm like, you want me to carry this? And so he gave it to me, and I walked in the lobby kind of like, you know, what's up, man? All right, you know, ashamed. If I'd have had a drink, I wouldn't have been ashamed. Other things, I wouldn't have been ashamed. But I was ashamed because I didn't take a stand, didn't know how to take a stand for Christ. In Titus 2, 11 through 13, for the grace of God has appeared with salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, God's love motivated me to take a stand, to stand up for God, to stand my ground, to stand still, and so God could stand out in my life instead of me and what I had and what I could offer. You see, God's grace, if you allow it, can really influence you to take a stand. And how many of us, especially us who are young, you know, we don't want to stand out. We don't want to stand differently. But at 18, I made a decision. I'm going against the grain, no matter what somebody says about me. And they teased me for becoming a Christian. They teased me because I loved God. And I said, you know what? God took a stand for me, and so I'm going to stand for him. And I want to encourage you, teens. I want to encourage you, teens, don't be afraid to take a stand for God. Because as you saw, Jesus took a stand for you. So stand up. And so to really illustrate this, and to close, I want a friend of mine, I've asked a friend of mine, a good golfing buddy and friend of mine, we call him lovingly Duke, is going to demonstrate through mime and music what it means to stand. And miming involves an acting out of a story through bodily motions without use of speech. That's what a mime is. So he's going to come and demonstrate through mime what it means to stand. I give you Mr. Duke.
What do you like you can. Seems like it's never enough. Tell me, what do you say when friends turn away, you're alone? Tell me, what do you give when you give in? When there's none left to do, you just stand and watch the Lord see you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just stand. Oh, tell me,
how do you handle
the guilt of while your heart has been broken and pain? Tell me,
what do you do
when you've done all you can? Seems like you can't make it through. Well, you just stand when there's nothing left to do. You just stand, watch the Lord see you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just stand.
Be
sure, be not entangled in bondage of ever. You just stand. And you're trying with all your might.
Pray.
after you've done all you can. There's nobody else to tell your problems to. Nobody else seems to be able to help you. After you've gone through the storms, yeah. After you've gone through the rain, oh. After you've endured all the hurt, after you've gone through, after you've gone through the pain, after you've done all you can, you just
let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the worship this morning. We thank you that, Father, through your grace and only your grace, can we stand. Father, help us to leave this place today and stand for what is right, stand for you. Father, help us to stand as we follow, stand as we are transformed, and stand very firmly as we join in mission with your son Jesus. Father, we love you, and we ask that you would protect us, inspire us to stand the way that Jesus stood in place for us. We love you, we thank you, in Christ's name we pray, amen.